This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever He leads to stray, then there is no guide for him. And I bear witness that there is no deity in truth except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is alone and He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. Ikhwani, brothers in Islam, any of you who have lived in this society for any period of time will have learned the word al-daman. When a person goes to buy a product, he asks, does the product have a daman? This is something that is very common in this society. Daman meaning a guarantee or a warranty on this particular product. And as a matter of fact, most people in any society around the world would prefer to buy a product that has a warranty. Whether it is a car or appliances or anything else that a person wants to buy, they usually prefer the product that has some type of guarantee with it or some type of warranty, some type of daman. Even though there are great differences as it relates to the daman itself, to the guarantee or to the warranty. Yani some of them last for many years. Some of them only cover certain parts when a person buys a product. And this is why when you find someone that you trust or a company that you trust, you prefer the product that they have to offer, even if it costs a little bit more. Why? Because you trust that individual, you trust the company. What if the one who is offering you a daman is offering you a guarantee is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one whom is described as being a sadiq al-masduq, the one who is truthful in everything that he says and who is believed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one whom Allah azza wa jalla described by saying wa la yantiqu 'anil hawa in huwa illa wahyun yuha. He is the one who does not speak from his own desires. Rather, it is only revelation that is revealed to him. So if the one who is guaranteeing you something is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you don't have to think twice about what he is guaranteeing you. And what if the thing that he is guaranteeing you is al-jannah? That which is more expansive than the heavens and the earth. That which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in it is that which no eye has ever seen, The bliss of Jannah is something that has not been imagined. It's unimaginable by the human. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he is the one guaranteeing you something, and the thing that he is guaranteeing you is al-Jannah, then is there something that should come between us and that guarantee? Especially if what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying is required of us is something that is not too difficult to do. Think about and consider this hadith that is collected by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala on the authority of Sahal ibn Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, من يضمن لي ما بين لحييه ورجليه أضمن له الجنة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever yadman, from ad-daman, whoever guarantees for me what is between his jawbones and his legs, then I will guarantee for him al-Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith, he guarantees Jannah for the one who protects the chastity of his private parts and his mouth. And most of the scholars, when explaining this hadith or discussing this hadith, they specify the tongue. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ما بين لحيي, يعني that which is between the jawbones, meaning the mouth in its entirety. Because others from the scholars of hadith mention that this hadith also includes the consumption of alcoholic beverages or any other intoxicant for that matter. But inshallah ta'ala, we're going to restrict the speech in this hadith to deal with the tongue, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Ya ikhwan, our tongues are a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tongue is a blessing. And you know how much of a blessing it is when you see someone else with a type of speech impediment, when they don't have the ability to speak like others. So they're looked at in a different kind of way, because they don't have the ability to express themselves like others. When you burn your tongue, for example, and you can't taste food the next day or for days at a time, then you realize the ni'mah of this tongue. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, mentioning the favors that He has given to His servants, He says, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجَدَيْنِ. Have we not given Him two eyes and a tongue and lips? And we have shown Him the two paths, that is the path of good and the path of evil. So it is with this tongue that we are able to express ourselves. We are able to call to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. مَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلٍ مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah? We are able to taste food. I mean, just imagine eating and not being able to taste. You're simply eating for the nourishment of your body, but you don't have the ability to taste. So this tongue is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you want to know the value of something to you, because it's important sometimes to take a step back. A lot of times a person may complain about what they don't have and forget about the things that they do have that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed them with. So if you want to look at the value of something that you have, think about what you would sell it for. Your tongue, how much would you put it on the market? How much would you sell your tongue for? Exactly. No one is willing to sell their tongue for anything. If someone offered you ₱1 million, ₂ million, ₲3 million, you're not willing to sell your tongue because it's priceless. The value of this ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you is priceless. This tongue. But if it is not used in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it can destroy the abd. It can destroy the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it can be dangerous because the tongue moves without energy. I mean, most sins that a person commits, it requires him to exert some type of energy. And he has to go out and do something. But with the tongue, most speech comes out effortlessly. And a person, for example, you'll find him effortlessly lying. And lying is a disgusting sin in Islam. It's not something that any believer should ever do. And it will destroy your deeds. Think about the reward of fasting in Ramadan. Allah Azza wa Jalla said the reward of fasting in Ramadan, illa sawm fa innahu li wa ana ajzi bih. That fasting is for me, I'm the one that rewards for it. Yani it'd be multiplied more than 700 times for certain people. All of that can be destroyed by one lie in the daytime while a person is fasting. So lying is a sin that is destructive. It destroys a person's good deeds. And it's done with what? It's done with the tongue, and usually effortlessly. A person just does it. Mocking others, cursing, someone with a foul mouth, which is not, again, not from the traits of the Muslims. A person praising himself, a person insulting others. Now imagine someone says something bad to you. Do you not want your rights from that person on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Think about this, because Ikhwan, is an important point here. If someone insults you, and you are patient, and you say to yourself, I will get my rights from that person on Yawm al-Qiyamah. That's if you don't forgive them. Do you have the right to say that? Do you have the right to do that? Absolutely. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla is al-Adl. He is just. And if a person insults you, you have a right to get that back from them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. What about people who with their tongue insult entire nations of people, entire nationalities, entire ethnicities? Black people are this. Beware, ya Abdullah. Do not let something like that come off your tongue. White people are like, Saudis are like this. Saudis are such and such. And that's easy, because the majority of us who are living in this society may have faced some type of difficulties living here, or some type of oppression or something like that. So it's easy to generalize. Saudis are like this. Or as some people say, you want me to do what? You want me to clean what? Do you think I'm a Bengali? You see? Insulting an entire nation of people. And as some of the scholars have mentioned, just as one person has the right to get his haq from you, to get his rights from you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, if you speak about an entire nation, you will face that nation on Yawm al-Qiyamah. All of them requiring their rights from you. That's done with what? That's done with the tongue. This tongue is dangerous if it is not used for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So watch your mouth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That he does not utter a word except that there is a watcher by him ready to record what he is saying. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood, that when he was raised, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was raised up to the seven heavens, and Jibril accompanied him, he said that he saw people whose nails were made of iron, and they were scratching their faces and their chests. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam asked Jibril, who are they? Who are those people? Jibril alayhi salatu wa sallam said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هُمُ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ لُحُومَ النَّاسِ وَيَقَعُونَ فِي أَعْرَاضِهِمْ. They are those who eat the flesh of people. Yani that is, they backbite them. And يَقَعُونَ فِي أَعْرَاضِهِمْ. And they disgrace them. They talk about, they dishonor them and insult them. These are those people, and this is their reward on the day of judgment. The honor of a Muslim, ya ikhwan, is sacred. And this is why when it comes to the tongue, the Muslim has to follow the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him say that which is good, or let him be quiet. This hadith is collected by Bukhari and Muslim. So the MO of the Muslim is to either say that which is good or to be quiet. That is, the one who believes in Allah and who believes in the last day, believes that he has a creator, that is Allah Azza wa Jal, and believes in the last day, that day when he will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer for every single thing that he has done, including his speech. Including his speech. فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا. This is the one who believes in Allah on the last day. Then let him say that which is good, or let him be quiet. Talking about the deen of Allah without knowledge is not good. And so, if you find yourself in a predicament where you're about to speak about the deen of Allah and you don't know what you're talking about, then be quiet. Spreading others' secrets, is that khair? Is that good? Then don't do it. If someone has entrusted you with information, keep it to yourself. These are all sins that come off the tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed Jannah for the one who protects his tongue. These are things that we need to avoid. Complaining about Allah Azza wa Jal's decree, something that has happened to you, some type of calamity that has befallen you, it's from your own hands anyway. And then you go and complain about your situation to who? You complain about Allah, to the creation of Allah? Is that good? فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا. Is that good speech? Absolutely not. Allah Azza wa Jal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, when he was asked about the speech that a person, or the speech of an individual, is it counted from his actions? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Is there anything that is going to drag the people on their faces in the fire except for the harvest of their tongue, that is the fruits of their speech? That which they have said off of their tongues. So beware of backbiting and slandering other Muslims. Beware of belittling other Muslims and spreading rumors. This is as it relates to protecting the tongue. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned in this hadith the importance of protecting one's private parts. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith, وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ, that which is between his legs. Because if a person doesn't do so, then the evil sin of zina will spread in the community, and this is something that destroys communities, brings about children who do not come up in proper homes, who do not know who their fathers are. It spreads diseases and all other types of destruction to one's honor and to one's lineage. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that the believers are successful. He goes on to describe who those believers are. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those who have khushu' and their salat, who stand with humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah goes on to say, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, those who protect their private parts. إِلَّا عَلَى أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ, except for with their wives or their spouses and those whom their right hands possess, because there is no blame upon them in doing so. فَمَنْ اِبْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Whoever goes beyond that, that is their wives and their right hand possessions, then those are the transgressors. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, in these ayat, the first ayat in Surah Al-Mu'minun, is mentioning to us that the one who does not protect his private parts is not going to be successful. And he is blameworthy, and he is from the transgressors. Whoever goes beyond his wives and those whom his right hand possesses, which we don't have in this day and time. Whoever does that goes beyond that any kind of way. For example, homosexuality, sodomy in Islam, is from the most immoral of sins. And it is beyond one's wife. Likewise, and for the sake of the young people here, I'll say it like this. Likewise, one pleasing himself by himself. This is haram in Islam. This is not something that can be done. This is not from the protection of one's private parts. Whoever goes beyond that, then they are the ones who are transgressors. And so, Allah Azza wa Jal gives us some of the ways to remedy the situation, because usually one goes and transgresses beyond the bounds as it relates to his private parts because he is looking at that which is haram. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Say to the believers to lower their gaze. Do not look at that which is haram. And protect their private parts. Because by looking at that which is haram, it will lead to one not protecting his private parts. So do not look at that which is haram. And unfortunately, with all of the technology that we have today that could be used for that which is good, unfortunately many people use it for that which is haram. And they go on the internet and they look at that which is haram. And they use their cell phones to look at that which is haram. So beware of looking at that which is haram. And remember the guarantee of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the one who protects that which is between his jawbones and between his legs. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد يا إخواني في الله, there is no Muslim except that he wants Jannah. There's no Muslim that will tell you that he wants to go to the hellfire. No Muslim. Because we understand what happens after death. We know that there is a fire and that there is Jannah. And every Muslim wants to receive or wants to be from the inheritors, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them in the Quran. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. They want to be from those who inherit Jannah. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam informed us in this hadith that we are talking about today, informed us that Jannah is guaranteed. Guaranteed. From the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he guarantees it, that for the person who protects what is between his jawbones and between his legs, that he will be from amongst the people of Jannah. As it relates to the private parts, then for those who are not married and have the ability to get married, then they should, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, ya ma'ashara al-shabab, من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج. Whoever, ya ma'ashar al-shabab, O young people in Islam, O shabab, whoever has the ability from amongst you to get married, then let him do so. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ, because it helps him to lower his gaze, وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ, and helps him to protect his private parts. For those who do not have the ability to do so, or it's impractical, then let him fast. This is the prescription that was given to the Muslim by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Lowering the gaze is another very important point in not looking at that which is haram. The other thing is that every Muslim who is about to do something that is haram with someone whom it is haram for him to do it with, then let him think about this young woman that he is approaching. Would he be pleased with this for his mother? Would he be pleased with this for his sister? What about his daughter? Would a person be pleased with that? For someone who is his close relative, then likewise, this woman is someone else's daughter. She is someone else's mother, perhaps someone else's sister. And so a person has to think about these things before embarking upon something that will destroy him and someone else. Another important point here, and the last point that we'll mention as it relates to protecting the private parts, is the issue of controlling your thoughts. And if we have the ability at some point, we'll go over the tafsir of Surah An-Nas, inshaAllah ta'ala, because it deals with the aspect of the whispers of shaitan. Do not allow a passing thought to turn into an ardent desire. Do not allow shaitan to whisper something to you, and then you follow that whisper up until you become determined to do the thing that started out as just an evil thought. No, you have to repel that thought when it comes to you and seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it relates to the tongue and how we protect it, then the first thing that I'd like to mention is that just as easy as it is for someone to use his tongue for the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is just as easy to use it for the obedience of Allah azza wa jalla. And in the same way that someone says something that is evil, is the same way that he can use his tongue to say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. The most beloved speech to Allah azza wa jalla are these four, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Sahih Muslim. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. You can say it while you're walking down the street. You can say it when you're at work. You can say it while you're driving, while you're cooking, while you're doing anything that you do. Use your tongue for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةَ ثَلَاثًا إِلَّا قَالَتِ الْجَنَّةِ اللَّهُمَ أَدْخِلْهُ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يَسْتَجِيرُ مِنَ النَّارِ ثَلَاثًا إِلَّا قالت النار اللهم اجره من النار او كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. There is no Muslim who asks Allah for Jannah three times. اللهم اني اسالك الجنه اللهم اني اسالك الجنه اللهم اني اسالك الجنه, except that Jannah says, oh Allah, enter him into al-Jannah. And there is no Muslim that seeks refuge in Allah from the fire three times, except that the fire says, oh Allah, protect him from the fire. This is easy for the Muslim to say. So the same way that one uses their tongue in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they need to use their tongue for the obedience of Allah azza wa jal. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is a prophetic remedy, من صمت نجا, whoever is silent, that is, he doesn't speak about evil, نجا, he will be successful. He will be saved from the fire. Whoever is silent, yani he does not speak about evil, then he will be successful, that is, he will be saved from the fire. So we need to be conscious of the things that come off of our tongue. We need to measure the speech. Is what I'm about to say something that is beneficial? Is it something that will gain me some type of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it other than that? One time, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw Abu Bakr as-Siddiq when he was the Khalifa. This hadith is sahih. He saw him by himself and he was sticking out his tongue. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Khalifa al-Muslimin, O Khalifa of the Muslims, Ya Khalifa Rasulullah. He said, O Khalifa of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are you doing? And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him, هذا الذي أوردني الموارد. This thing here, my tongue, this is what has caused me so many problems. Indeed, I heard the this is Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu saying, indeed, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, ليس شيء من الجسد إلا يشكو إلى الله اللسان. There is nothing from the body except that it complains to Allah about the tongue. Subhanallah. So, ikhwani, as it relates to this tongue, then we need to use it for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dhikr of Allah azza wa jal, making dua, reading the Quran, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, encouraging others to do that which is good, forbidding them to do that which is evil. And I'll end with the advice of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the great Khalifa of the Muslims, rahimahullahu ta'ala, who said, إِنَّ مَنْ أَكْثَرَ ذِكْرَ الْمَوْتِ رَضِيَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْيَسِيرِ. whoever thinks about death a lot, then he will be pleased with just a little from the dunya. Because he knows that it's all going to go away. وَمَنْ عَدَّ كَلَامَهُ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ قَلَّ كَلَامُهُ إِلَّا فِي مَا يَعْنِيهِ. And whoever considers his speech to be from amongst his actions, that is, the day will be weighed on the day of judgment, then his speech will be little except for that which concerns him. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from amongst those who protect their private parts and protect their tongues. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ.